children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep.
Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. The show is brought to you by starlights.com. That's starlights.com. And by the enlightenedmedicinecenter.com. And if you haven't checked out the Enlightened Medicine Center site yet, you might want to start doing that. We're going to be offering quite a few different things. Also on Starlights, there's a vast amount of CDs, DVDs, and books, and cool things that you can get, new agey type things. You know, the kind of things that I like to buy wherever I go, and then I get home and I start looking at my stuff and going, wow, I could, like, outfit a store. So if you're like me, you just like those little cool things. And on the EnlightenedMedicineCenter.com, we are going to be offering some really interesting things sometime after the end of August. But for right now, we're going to be putting up other things that are, you know, more health-related things. But we're going to be working into biogeometry and a few other really interesting things. So keep checking that site out, too, please. Okay, the show tonight, being the first of the month, is meditation. So we'll have a little quick 5 to 10 minute meditation at the end of the show that you can download and keep for yourself and practice. And what I want to talk about today is connection to Source, God, Allah, God of all and everything, whatever you want to call it, the supreme being of the universe and all of the universe, the supreme prime creator of everything. And what I wanted to talk to you about, and you're certainly welcome to call in at any point if you have any questions or want to make any comments, but I want to talk about more than just how to get connected more, but also the hazards of being connected more. And not to put anybody off the path, because I would never want to do that, but rather to help you when you get into a hard spot because of this connection. And before I go into too much of it, let me just say that in the olden days, they used to call people who had really good connection with God tetched in the head. And as one of those, I can definitely tell you, yes, you do get tetched. And you don't act like anybody else after that. You find it very difficult to respond the way most quote-unquote normal people do. It's not that you can't interact with other people, it's that you have a higher purpose. And so I'm going to go into that more in a little bit. But first I wanted to give you a little bit of background and why am I talking about this. And to let you know that what I have learned about how to make a deeper connection was not something that I read in books. I've had 6 near-death experiences. And they range everywhere from mostly accidents and injuries, but the first one happened when I was 3, and I fell off my parents' sailboat in the Sacramento River Delta, and nobody could find me. And I had these interesting creatures swim up to me, and I guess put a bubble of oxygen around me, because I was breathing, I was fine, didn't have any water in my lungs or anything when they finally found me. And I kept rising up to the surface, and they'd jump in to save me and sink me. So I did the proverbial, you know, 3 times up. And what happened to me at that point was I was completely content sitting at the bottom of the delta, looking around. You couldn't see towards the surface because it's very muddy there. But sitting on the ground underneath all this water, I could see very clearly, and it was quite interesting to see these creatures that were kind of half human and half fish. I mean, they were more human than fish, but they kind of had a strange kind of a fish head. So if you ever saw the old movie, The Creature from the Black Lagoon. Kind of like that, except just imagine a human face and, you know, fins on the arms and the legs and, you know, but a humanoid creature. And I learned later that these are called the Eogerians, and they live in our seas. And they're perfectly natural there, as are quite a few other creatures that we share the earth with and think don't exist. But, you know, as a three-year-old, I never really thought that was odd, you know, because, you know, everything's kind of fantasy world when you're three. But that was my first thing. After that, almost every single thing that I went through was either an accident that was about to happen or an illness. And right during one of my sessions that this happened, I was in my 20s, and I was woken up and shown quite a few things, given the choice of whether I wanted to go or stay, looking down at the earth, you know, from sitting out in the cosmos, talking with Jesus Christ, and seeing a council of light. And at the time, I didn't realize the house was about to blow up. I knew I was out of my body. I didn't care. And it was simply a decision of whether I was done with what I came to Earth to do, which was quite simple, actually. I just had to experience life for a few years with these people that I called my parents. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, you know, well, I did that when I was a toddler. So what would be my reason for staying? Because most of the time, unless you have kids, when you go to the other side, you really don't give much thought to the people that you leave behind, because it's just a play. It's kind of like a virtual life. The real life is on the other side. So there's not this big pull to stay there. There is a pull if you're a parent. And sometimes there's a pull, you know, when you're married or, you know, whatever, in love with someone. But really, my own experience was, even coming from a very close-knit family, I didn't really care. I didn't give them a second thought, which I thought later was quite odd. But what I did give thought to was, what could I do if I came back? And so as the council was trying to caution me and showing me how difficult it was going to be, I remember distinctly as they kept saying, it's going to be really hard. Are you sure you want to do that? You don't have to do that. And I said, yeah, send me back. You know, it's kind of like being in a game, you know. And I'm going, hey, coach, send me back in. I can do this. And I was like, yeah, sure, send me back. And then I was back in the body going, oh, no. Because even when you're out of the body, when you're back to who you really are, even in the space of a few minutes, you completely forget how difficult it is to be here. Working and living in 3D is tough. The reason it's tough is because we are not three-dimensional beings. We are multidimensional sons and daughters of God, the supreme creator, that prime creator, first mystery, great mystery, whatever you want to call it. And so because of that, we have these multidimensional, amazing capabilities. So to be confined to a body in 3D that we call normal earth life is very difficult. And it's something that's so painful and so hard to deal with. But we forget about it in an instant as soon as we're back to being who we really are. It's kind of like you come here and you put on a costume and you play out your script. It's an interactive script, mind you, but it's still a script. You know, you're doing this in order to gain some experience and basically to be able to be a good creator, to understand what the beings that you eventually create might go through. So as I was out there being given the choice, I was shown what was going to come. Not for sure, but what was likely, based upon the way things were going at the time. What I've come to understand since then is they don't have to go that way. We can change it. The way that we change it is with love, by being in connection with that prime creator, with that source of all, and by having so much love in our hearts that we love the creation, no matter what's going on, and that we appreciate and live with gratitude. So we'll get into that a little bit more as the show goes on. So when I came back, I was able to stop the explosion that was about to happen. The interesting thing was that I was doing some psychic classes at the time, and I would occasionally go in and have my teacher do a reading for me, because I have always been curious and wanting to make sure that I'm on the right track, that I'm not deluding myself, because it's very, very easy to delude yourself when you go into any kind of metaphysical slash spiritual study, because you get tricked by phenomena. And so I would make sure that someone who was wiser than me in the direction I was going could keep me in line if that's what was needed. So I was there talking to my teacher, and she liked to use the tarot cards, and she kept looking at me kind of funny, and she looked at me very intensely, reached out and patted my hand, and she kept looking at the cards, and she'd shuffle them again, and she'd lay them out, and she'd look out and look at me again and reach out and pat my hand, squeeze my hand and stuff. And I was talking with her, and I said, what's up? Why are you looking at me so strangely? She said, well, according to the cards, you're dead. And you died in a fiery car crash with a small red sports car. I said, oh, yeah, that belongs to my roommate. And, you know, he has this problem with his cars leaking gasoline, and the house almost blew up the other night, and I stopped it, and then I told her what had happened. She said, that's incredible. She said, according to the plan, you were supposed to die. And I said, no, I changed my mind. I decided to come back and to help. And she just kind of shook her head and said, wow, I didn't know that that could happen. And so I thought, wow, you know, I didn't really think about it, but I did make that choice. So I kind of looked at it. It's kind of like when you're in the service, you know, and you decide to re-up. It's that type of a thing. You know, you can do your stint and be gone, or you can decide to re-up and stay here, and you basically have a new life. And so, you know, you have all your memories and things are going along the same, but you're no longer the same. And I can tell you, for that first 6 months after that particular near-death experience, I really had a hard time being here. It was very difficult to deal with the world, because when you're out of your body and you're in reality, which is not this, when you're in reality and you are living in that space of unconditional love, very, very difficult to be here, because this is so devoid of that love. And so it took me a while to be able to function again as a sort of normal person. And so I've had several instances since then where I have deepened my connection with Source, and I have learned to love humanity and learned to love the creation. And I've been given a lot of amazing, amazing experiences, including one time when I was taken out of my body by my guardian angels, of which I have two. And they took me through the universe, and they showed me how the universe works. Now, I don't remember all of it, but I remembered enough of it when I got back that I was like, wow, you know, they did that for me. They showed me how things work. And nothing is random chance, really, but it's all so interactive that it boggles the mind to even try to contemplate, how does that work? How can all these multi-billions of beings make their own choice out of free will and still have it work? Now, I can't tell you that because I'm not in that same consciousness right now, but it made perfectly good sense when that happened. And the thing that was interesting is, well, first of all, no, I was not drinking, and no, I was not on any of those fun drugs. It was the middle of the day, and I was completely awake, and they just reached down, snatched me right out of my body, and took me out into the universe. And then when they were done, they brought me back and slam dunked me back into my body. And it was just, it was amazing. So I've had a lot of really amazing experiences. Another time I was about to go off a cliff, and I'm looking at this huge drop. So we hit a patch of black ice in the snow coming down a mountain. And I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, that's it, we're dead. Because there's no surviving this in a small car that's fully loaded with heavy stuff, and it's going to go head first down this big, you know, 300-yard or so ravine. So I immediately did what I call throwing out my anchor to my highest self and said, okay, Father, please take me out of my body before we hit, because I don't want to feel the pain. And instantly, what we call the Father, you know, that higher consciousness self, the real self, moved down into me, and I was completely relaxed, absolutely, totally relaxed, wasn't worried about a thing. So I'm sitting there with my leg crossed, you know, just totally relaxed, and my husband at the time was driving, and he was screaming in terror, and he kept screaming out my name, and finally, when he took a breath, I said, what is it exactly you'd like me to do, Pete? And he stopped, and he was so shocked. He took his attention off of what was happening and looked at me in horror, and in that instant, we got pushed away from certain death and landed on the other side of the road, just this, you know, little push. The interesting thing was when we got out and looked at the car, there was like a fingerprint in blue on that car. That car had no blue paint on it. It was a custom paint job that my brother had done. So the car was mostly white and had a stripe up the front of the hood and over the top and down the back. And there was absolutely no blue paint on that car in the undercoat, none. And yet there it was. And I just started laughing. And I thought, wow, that was truly amazing. But the most profound thing was that when my highest self moved down into me, it was the most profound, amazing experience I've ever had in my life. And then I understood when they talk about how, you know, Jesus was on the cross and said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? I thought, wow, if you lived like that with your highest consciousness self within this body on this earth and had started out that way and lived your entire life that way, that when that part of you left, you would be completely devastated. Because I felt it after just a few minutes. Maybe not even minutes. It might have been just, you know, seconds. I don't know. But the interesting thing was that I still remember that feeling, that complete being one with God feeling. And it was absolutely incredible. And that's really what we're all looking for. There's no fear. There's only love. And having had that connection, I've had it, you know, a few times since then through prayer and meditation and, you know, various things like that, being in a sacred space, you know, whatever. There's all kinds of ways to trigger it. But that type of connection is what we really need to foster more of within ourselves. And the important thing to know is you don't have to go outside of yourself to get that. Your connection point is within your heart. That's where you get it, not outside. Doesn't matter where you go, who you talk to. You need to remember that it's within you. It's within each one of us. We have this divine spark. And that connection can be so powerful that if you are doing something that is designed for you to feel that more intensely, you may go into this state, after the bliss, you go into a state of crying because you feel such overwhelming love that it's difficult to stop crying. It's just this instant reaction that happens, this overwhelming feeling of such overpowering love, unconditional love. And now here's the danger point. If you're doing something that you experience that through, you have to go and release that energy. Now, this may sound a little strange because I just said we need more connection. The problem is when it happens to you suddenly, it's too much. You're going to burn out your transformer. So basically what you do is you go ground yourself. You know, go stand on the earth and just see connection to earth happening. You know, see roots growing out through the feet and going into the core of Mother Earth and just allowing that energy to drain out of you, because the human body cannot sustain that energy for any length of time. These bodies were not built for that. That's an experience that you keep so that you understand when you're feeling it. But if you try to keep that in your body, the first thing that happens is that you start suffering organ damage because you're blowing out the circuits, okay? At some point, there could be something as crazy as spontaneous combustion, or you could just go poof. And that's the danger, because we're supposed to be here now. We're supposed to be playing in this game and doing whatever it was that we came to do. So trying to escape by trying to increase that connection is not necessarily the right thing to do. Does that make sense? You guys kind of get that? So it's not about escaping into the oneness again. We came from the oneness, and we chose to be in this game because time is what we have the most of, okay? It's eternity. We have lots of time to play in other kinds of video games, okay? We have plenty of time. But what happens is, you know, when you're in that state of amazing bliss, and there's some planetary system where the experiment is going amok, and they ask for volunteers, we volunteer. We beg to come to these kinds of situations to help because of the love that we have. Then we get here and forget about it. We get caught. You know, when you're out there in the cosmos and you're your fully dimensional being, you are not lacking anything. And so, you know, you have the utmost wisdom and understanding and all that other kind of stuff. When you come here, you know, you seem like you don't have it. But you really do. You just don't have full access to it. So I hope this is kind of making sense. It's kind of difficult to describe the indescribable, you know? So, giving it my best shot here, people. So, when I'm talking about having greater connection with Source, I mean that if you have that certainty that you can connect, that's the first thing, to have that certainty and to have that that desire for that connection and practice it a little bit every day. But you have to bring the body up while you're bringing up the spiritual part of yourself. Where people get into trouble is when they try to become really spiritually high without bringing up the physical, the mental, the causal, the emotional, the intellectual, all these other bodies. You have to bring them all up at the same time. Otherwise, you go through what I call spiritual menopause, okay? And if you know anything about women going through menopause, you know that some of them go completely crazy. Some of them seem to do okay. Most of them are somewhere in between. That's because the hormone levels are falling at different rates. If they all come down equally, then you have someone who goes through menopause without noticing any difference, or hardly any difference. If the levels fall in drastic ways, like one falls and the others don't, then you have some severe side effects. The same thing happens spiritually. So if you're striving, 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 and you have a breakthrough, but your physical, mental, emotional, intellectual, causal, blueprint bodies and everything are not ready for that, you're going to burn something out. And when you do that, you risk destroying the part of the experiment that you are part of. So lucky for me, I had a really good teacher who explained all this stuff, and I've been through this where you have that incredible, overwhelming, unconditional love for the highest self, and that connection with God. Because really, what we all want is to be closer to God. And most people don't know how to express that. So when you're striving to do that, you can go a little too far, you know. So I wanted to talk about that this week, because I've seen a number of people having some pretty severe problems in the last couple of months that are related to their spiritual striving. And so if you're one of those people, especially if you're experiencing uncontrollable bouts of crying that are associated with the great love that you feel, or if you're having sudden and inexplicable dizziness, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it can manifest in a lot of ways. But mainly what happens first is you go, wow, I had this incredible experience. Then the troubles start after that, usually within a couple of days. So it is important to go ground yourself. And that can be as simple as just going and standing out on the dirt. And, you know, water can help too, but really you need dirt. You need earth. And, you know, water is good for cleansing. It's not necessarily grounding enough to bring that energy out of you and into the earth. It's not that you lose the energy. It's rather that you give it another conduit to run through you so that you don't burn out yourself. And now the next part is, when you allow this type of energy to come through you, you become a shining light, some more so than others, depending upon whether you change your life appropriately after that, as in, you know, stay away from illicit drugs and alcohol and, you know, cussing and, you know, whatever, playing nasty tricks on people, whatever your trip was. If you go back to doing what you were doing before, it doesn't work. And because you've been shown something better, you get yourself in trouble. But one of the things that happens with love is that you will be able to make a better connection heart to heart with other people. Now, the problem therein is that if the other person is not at the same level or above your level, they will not recognize that what they see in you is the spark of God that's glowing. And they want to be closer to that, and they mistakenly think they want to be closer to you. And if you're not aware of this, you'll be very hurt when it doesn't work out. And it took me a few tries to realize this too. Maybe some people are quicker at that than me, I don't know. But after a while, I started to realize that what these guys were being attracted to was really the God force that they saw in me. And I confronted a couple of them with that, and they denied it. And I just kind of sat back and went, really? And a couple of days later, they came up to me and said, you know what, I thought about it, and you're actually right. And so most of us, you know, we go around looking for a love interest, and it's a person to complete us, you know, to be the yin to our yang, or the yang to our yin, whichever the case may be. We're looking for that completion because we instinctively know that there's a wholeness that we're searching for. And this is one reason why a lot of divorces happen, a lot of separations, because you get with that person for a short time and you get whatever it is you need from that relationship, and then you're done. And then you feel guilty, and they feel guilty, and, you know, there's all these repercussions. But as I've mentioned many times when I've done relationship shows, you know, relationships are not about being, you know, married for the rest of your life. They're really not. It's about learning to love others no matter what's going on, and to accept them, and to be okay with what's happening. And it's to teach us. You know, whenever you're in any kind of relationship, and everything is about relationship, not love relationships specifically, but, you know, anything you're doing that involves another person or another animal or another being of any type, it's a relationship. So we get real confused with love relationships. And at some point in our spiritual evolution, we start to realize, oh, I was looking for someone to complete me. And that never works. You know, it'll satisfy you for a little bit, and then you'll be on to find other parts of yourself that need to be completed. So when you become interdependent, you are complete within yourself, and you're able to enjoy the other person and stop the unrealistic expectations, and instead just enjoy them for who they are and share a slice of life with them. So, see, this has kind of far-reaching complications and implications, but it's all about really the connection with Source. That's what we're all looking for, because we remember what it was like to be close to God. And I'm not talking about the religious God. So if you're religious, forgive me. I'm just telling you, you know, what I've experienced. I can only tell you what I've been through. Okay? And so like so many people will say, you know, don't take my word for it. Go have your own experience. Because if you're wildly religious, you may need that. Now, I'm not saying anything against it, really. We all are going to get what we need. That's what we're here for. We're going to experience different things. So when you want to get closer to Source, and we'll do a meditation for that tonight, I always make sure that I end the meditation with grounding. And so we'll do a little, you know, a little grounding meditation at the end of it as well. Because it's very important to make sure you're allowing that energy to move through you. You cannot hoard this energy. If you try to hoard it, it'll destroy you. Okay? You can't keep it. You have to pass it on. So the safest way to do it is go ground it into the earth. The other way that you can do it, increase your connection with God, increase your connection with the other beings of light in creation, is to go share it. And there's lots of ways to share it. You know, some people do it by sharing money in places that are going to help other people. Some people do it like the Sisters of Charity, where they're right there with the poorest of the poor and helping them day to day, helping them have a little comfort in their lives before they pass on. Some people do it by caring for animals that are homeless. You know, whatever appeals to you to do, it's another way of becoming closer to the Source. But you have to do it from your heart, not for what somebody's going to say about you. Like, oh, they're such a good person. And you just bask in the glow of that. Well, if you do that, you just got your reward. You know? So it's better not to let anybody really know, you know, but just to go on and just do whatever turns you on to do, you know. Help other people, help animals, whatever. There are so many homeless people and animals right now. It's hard to choose, right? I mean, wow, there's so much need everywhere that you look. But the whole reason for that is because people haven't been taught correctly. They haven't been taught to really share equally. Instead, there's this dog-eat-dog, you know, what's in it for me attitude out there, which is one reason why it's very difficult to be here when you've been on the other side and you know what the truth is. Hard to come back to this BS, you know? Very difficult. So, is it going to change you when you have a closer connection with God? Absolutely. Is your life going to become easier? No. It's going to become easier as far as your inner strivings go, but not easier as far as the world around you goes, because you are spurred on then to do greater things, to help more people. And it continues. You know, the better you get, the more responsibility you get. There's no end to that. You know, you just keep going up and up and up, and there's no end because everything keeps expanding, you know? So when you have eternity, then you can just keep on going. Why would you want to be stagnant? Why would you want to be stuck in one place? So like this whole move for physical immortality is such BS, I can't even begin to tell you. And all these people that want to merge machine with human, that's like horrifying to me. My God, why would you want to be stuck in 3D? I mean, seriously, it's so limiting. You know, why would you not want to be in the highest dimension that you could be in? So those are just my thoughts, of course, but I mean, think about it rationally. You know, why would you want to be stuck here? But that's a discussion for another day. I suppose we could have a show on physical immortality, because there's some people that have, you know, been working to do that in the body. There's lots of yogic techniques for that. You've probably heard about the yogis that were buried, you know, at the fork of a river and, you know, 10 feet under, and, you know, their disciples go and wake them up after 10 years or whatever, and they're fine. There's a lot more to it than just being buried haphazardly. You know, when they're doing that, it has to do with the energy lines of earth and water and everything else, and being able to basically go into hibernation mode. And no, I don't want to try that, thank you. There's a lot of things out there that I really don't need to experience in this life, okay? I've tested myself enough. However, whatever you guys want to do, I don't know, that's up to you. It's your life. And so my advice is usually to live your life. Don't live it for somebody else. Do what you came to do, and make sure that however you do it, you are right with the Creator, however you want to approach that. And, you know, we all know inside what's right and wrong. We know what our path is. We know when we stray off that path. So there's no excuses out there, folks. You can't claim ignorance, because the fact is that you got a set of guardian angels there that have probably been whispering into your ears since you were little, and you can choose to listen to them or not. And as one who has heard some pretty interesting things from my own guardian angels, I can tell you that if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be on the planet still. And, you know, I have learned to listen, because I'm rather wary of having lumps on my head from the celestial 2x4. So, if you're a slow learner, see, you know, you may have a lot of lumps. I don't know. So, it's your choice. That's the important thing to remember. This is always your choice. How you want to live your life is your choice. No one has control over that but you. And yeah, there could be some repercussions, depending upon what you choose to do. But, you know, whatever is in alignment with your path is the thing that you need to be looking for. So, I don't know about you guys, but I tend to ask the Source to bless my guardian angels so that they have more influence in my life, so that they're allowed to help me, especially in those times when it's really rough. And, you know, I've had some pretty rough times here and there. And I always turn to the Source and to my guardian angels to help me through those times. Because as a little piddly human, I don't know what to do. You know, I'm real good at some things in this life, and other things I have no clue. Things happen and I just kind of sit back and go, wow, that's interesting. Now what do I do? And if I get really frustrated, if I'm not getting any answers, then I start yelling and shaking my fist and going, okay, God, that's it. I'm not moving unless you move me. And it's interesting how that changes things, too. It's like, okay, look, I need some help, you know. Give me a hint. What's going to be right for me? You know, what puts me in better alignment on the path that the Source and I agreed on? You know, or if I'm way beyond that one, okay, how about the one I'm on now? Because remember, I've had six of those changes. And so I've been at least six different people in this lifetime and had amazing stuff happen. But the reason it happens is because I listen and observe what's going on around me and go, wow, what does that have to do with me? What could it possibly have to do with me? And, you know, recently I've had a whole lot of challenges, and I've been off the internet now for about 4.5 weeks. And that's kind of interesting for somebody who's on the net, you know, pretty consistently doing things and, you know, pretty much was cut off from any communication for a while. And I went, wow, what the heck is that about? It just becomes strange, you know? So, as you go through life, if you learn to stop and say, wow, what is that about? you'll get some interesting answers. And if you keep your eyes and your ears open, you can look around, see what's going on, and go, huh, okay, well, maybe I'd like to try this, or maybe I'd like to try that. So then go for it, and just make sure that your inner compass in your heart is guiding you correctly. And the way you do that is if you ask a yes or no question at your heart level, a yes is always a lightening and a relaxation or like a thrill, like you're excited. And a no answer is always a tension or a kind of that panicky, scared feeling. And, I mean, it's pretty obvious which is which. So you can always ask your heart, you know, which is the correct way for me to go? Which is the best way for me to go? And just go on like that and trust. The more that you learn to trust your intuition and the energies around you that we call guardian angels, the more that you trust your connection to Source, then the easier it's going to be to utilize and increase that connection. Just remember, if it happens suddenly, you need to go ground and let that energy move through you so you don't hurt yourself. And I can tell you, the first time that that happened to me, I could not stop crying. I had such love for my highest self, and through my highest self, the creator of everything, that I called up my teacher. And I said, Torkum, I can't stop crying. And he said, what's happening? And I said, I have such love for the Father. And, you know, for me, being brought up Catholic, that's, you know, that's the highest self. And that connection to Creator, to the masculine action side of creation. And the first thing he said to me was, you must go out and do some labors in nature. I said, what? I mean, it was like he just spoke Greek to me, which he did speak, but I don't. So it was one of those things where I went, huh? And he repeated it again slower. And then he explained to me, you have to ground that energy or you will suffer organ damage. And I went, oh, okay. And so for the next couple of days, the only thing I concentrated on was just building a little rock garden for my mom. And it came out beautiful. And I was fine after that. And then each time that I've gone through something like that, I have gone, uh-oh, I better go stick my feet in the dirt, dig a few plants, you know, move some rocks, do something like that, but create beauty with what I was doing. And I'm here to tell you that it works. It works very quickly. Now, one of the things I've run across recently is people are doing things to force their kundalini open. And doing breath work that, you know, brings them greater connection. Be really careful with that stuff, okay? Because, first of all, your kundalini should never be encouraged to open. It should open naturally all on its own. Because one of the problems with opening too soon is, again, that you can burn out your organs at the very least, but it can burn out your mental body. And there have been some pretty serious instances of people doing some really awful things to other people after kundalini openings. So, and I'm talking serial killer type stuff. So you've got to be really cautious when you're doing any kind of practices like that. Most people in our society are not brought up correctly to be able to withstand those kind of energies. And, you know, if you have a normal meditative practice, the kundalini will open by itself. You know, don't try to force phenomena. It's dangerous, and it can knock you completely off your path. So phenomena is not the thing to be looking for. It's what everybody wants, but that's really not what you want, if you get my drift. Okay? All right. So now we're going to go into the meditative portion. So if you're driving and listening to this, it's time to turn it off and just do this when you're home. And for those of you that are ready to do this now, please get some water. And so you can take a couple sips of water before and after. And if you have candles going, please snuff them out or put them someplace safe, like in the sink or the bathtub or something, where they can't catch anything on fire. And then turn off your cell phones. You know, make sure you're not going to be disturbed, because being disturbed when you're meditating is not good for your bodies. Gives you that jolt, and it can kind of put you off, I mean, literally beside yourself for a while. And if that's the case, you need somebody to help you fluff your aura back into alignment, which sounds really funny, but it works. You just kind of fluff yourself up, you know. Okay. So now get in a comfortable position and take a nice deep breath, really deep, and then exhale, and as you do, let tension flow out of your body. Take another nice deep breath all the way to the pit of your stomach, and as you exhale, let any darkness, negativity, or tension fall out of the body gently. Take another deep breath all the way down to your toes and let it go gently out of the body, taking any tension, negativity, pain, discomfort with it. And now continue to breathe slow and deep. And imagine yourself floating up out of your body now, very, very gently, kind of floating out of it. And you're floating above your body now. And you open the eyes of that floating body and you see sparkling lights all around you. And you see off in the distance a brilliant golden white light. And as you look at it, you realize you're being drawn to it, quickly but easily and gently. And as you approach it, you see that inside that golden white light is a beautiful sanctuary, your sanctuary. And it can be a place in nature or an ornate building. It can be out in the cosmos, deep in the earth, wherever you want it to be. It's your sanctuary. And as you happily float into your favorite spot in your sanctuary, you hear a bell-like series of sounds. They're just beautiful. And as you look around, you see ribbons of light flowing in the space around you, making these beautiful bell tones. And you realize that this is some kind of language. And the colors are so brilliant. So beautiful. Colors beyond what you can see with your body on Earth. And you take a deep breath and just sigh with happiness, because you instinctively know that these colors and these tones are so healing. And you become more happy and relaxed and kind of warm and fuzzy inside. And now you see that two beautiful glowing beings are approaching you. They're very, very tall, white at the center, and towards the edges you can see sparkling gold. They're beautiful beyond belief. These are your guardian angels. And as they approach you, they hold out their hands. and they take you by the hand now and go to a very sacred spot within your sanctuary. And the instant you step into that spot, you feel a thrill of some kind of celestial energy that instantly enlivens every part of you. And you see that you are linked with these other two beings of light, and that you form your own trinity with them. And now you are transported instantly into a cloud of white light that's filled with an untold number of other trinities. And you're all moving through this like little bubbles of white light. And the joy is incredible. Even if you're on the very, very outermost edge of this light, the feeling of bliss and of being home is so wonderful. So peaceful, so right. And you gently float through this cloud of light. And as you do, you become brighter. Then your little bubble of three beings of light slowly comes back out of that cloud of light, glowing now with more light than before. And you find yourself back in your sacred spot in your sanctuary with your guardian angels, who gaze upon you with such love. And you feel that connection, heart to heart. And likewise, the connection to the light, that brilliant cloud of light. And now your guardian angels bring you back to your favorite spot in the sanctuary. And they let you know with a thought that they are always with you. All you have to do is ask for help, and it is given. Ask for greater connection with the source of all life, and they will help you. And now they ask you to go back to your physical body on Earth in this 3D dimension. And as you float above your body, you gently go back into it, every part of you clicking into place within it. And you can feel the difference in your body now, the health, the life, the light. And now open your eyes and look around. Move around a bit. And now stand with your feet shoulder width apart, toes pointing forward. And see that out of the bottom of your feet are coming tendrils of light like roots, going deep into the core of Mother Earth. And as those tendrils of light from you reach the core, the Earth Mother sends back a brilliant emerald green light that comes up through your feet, all the way up through your body, sparkling and enlivening the cells, all the way up through the top of your head, out the top of your head, into the cosmos, through the base of the source of all life itself, and back through the cosmos and back into Mother Earth. So you are grounded with Mother Earth, connected with Mother Earth, and the source of all life through this ring of brilliant, sparkling, emerald green light. You are connected with the laws of nature, the laws of God itself. And now see coming from way out in the cosmos a brilliant golden white light streaking through the cosmos, down through the top of your head, down through your body, sparkling and swirling, golden, beautiful light coming out your feet, down into the core of Mother Earth, out the back, through the back of the cosmos, back into the mind of the source of all life itself, that prime creator. And now you are connected through the light of higher consciousness to the mind of the prime creator, the source of all life itself. And now with gratitude and love in your heart, you send out a brilliant hot pink light of love, truth, gratitude to the heart of the prime creator itself. And you receive in return multicolored pink and white light with sparkles of gold and silver and turquoise. And you know that you are connected through the heart of the source of all life itself to all of the hearts in creation, through the light of love and truth. And you are loved. And every moment of your life is important. And now you are grounded and connected, the bridge between heaven and earth. And now see around yourself a brilliant bubble of white light of protection that completely protects you from any and all negative and or dark energies, including your own. And you smile the smile of one who understands that this grounding and connection shows who you really are. Okay, open your eyes. Have a great night. And as usual, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.